In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, the Church, in her maternal wisdom, continues in paschal joy on this third Sunday after Easter. Yet as she does so, she turns our gaze inward to the soul in pilgrimage, to the struggle for virtue in a hostile world. The epistle and gospel lessons intertwine beautifully, calling us to live as strangers in the world, awaiting the joy promised after a little while. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to refrain yourselves from carnal desires which wage war against the soul. St. Peter's words are an exhortation to Christian dignity in this time of exile. The apostle reminds us that we are not at home here. The true Christian is a peregrinus, a pilgrim, and a foreigner, never fully at ease in this fallen world. Saint Augustine, in his City of God, echoes this idea. So long as the heavenly city is a pilgrim on earth, she calls out citizens from all nations and gathers a society of strangers, speaking all languages. In the epistle, St. Peter teaches that the Christian life is likened to the pilgrim journey of Israel in the desert, to that time of testing and purification, where carnal desires must be resisted because they do wage war against the soul. And so it is that St. John Chrysostom exhorted his hearers to vigilance. He said, "A soldier does not concern himself with markets or baths or perfumes. The soldier of Christ must abstain from these things, for the war is continual." Still, Peter teaches us to live honorably, even among those who do not believe, that our conduct may be an unspoken testimony. The apostle's writing moves us to recall our Lord's words, that we are salt of the earth and light to the world. And we must always bear in mind that to be salt and to be light is who we are meant to be in times of joy and peace, as well as in times of trial and pain. Such trial and pain, even suffering unjustly, can be meritorious when they're borne with patience for conscience' sake before God. You read in 1 Peter in the 19th verse, "For this is thankworthy, if for conscience toward God a man endure sorrows, suffering wrongfully." In all this, the Church prepares us to understand the cross, life struggles, not as defeat, but as the path to victory, echoing the very paschal mystery we continue to celebrate. In this morning's gospel lesson, our Lord speaks tenderly, but at the same time rather mysteriously to his disciples. "A little while now and you shall not see me, and a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." His words are enigmatic, and the disciples, like us, do not immediately grasp the meaning. Saint Cyril of Alexandria interprets this little while as referring both to the short time from when Jesus spoke those words until his resurrection, and it refers also to the hidden presence of Christ in the sacramental and mystical life of the Church. "Even though he is absent from sight," Cyril wrote, "Christ is with us through the Spirit." The Church rejoices not only because he is risen, but because he remains with her. This little while is the very rhythm of Christian life. It is the space between trial and triumph, between absence and presence, between sorrow and joy. It is a paschal waiting, a time that is filled with hope. Saint Augustine captured this tension beautifully when he wrote, "This little while is the whole present life. It seems long to us because it is still going on, but when it is over, we shall see how short it was." The sorrow of the disciples at the time of our Lord's departure prefigures the suffering of the church until the end of time. But our Lord promises that that sorrow will be turned into joy. And not just any sort of joy, but a joy that no man shall take from us. This is the joy of union with the risen Christ, the joy that is tasted even now in the Holy Eucharist, in the life of grace, and finally in the beatific vision. Thus, the Church prays in today's introit, taken from Psalm 66, "Jubilate Deo omnis terra, Alleluia! Shout with joy to God all the earth, Alleluia!" These words of David remind us that our present trials are not the final word. Even as strangers and pilgrims, we already share in the joy of Christ's resurrection. St. Gregory the Great urges us, let us not be saddened by our exile, but long for our homeland, and may the very weariness of our journey inflame our desire for rest. In the spirit of this holy season, the Church encourages us to hold fast in this tension, to live chastely, live justly, live devoutly in this fallen world, knowing that we await the vision of the one who is now hidden, the one who is already victorious. Our joy, my dear friends, is born not of circumstance, but born out of Christ's promise, "You shall see me again." Let us not forget that this joy is no mere fleeting thing. It is not an emotion we experience briefly only to see it gone. Pause for a moment and recall that there are two kinds of joy, natural joy and spiritual joy. St. Thomas Aquinas calls natural joy a passion, an emotion that arises from experiencing a present good. By present good, St. Thomas means simple things such as enjoying a meal with family or friends, relaxing with a cup of tea or coffee. It can be something such as delighting in the laughter of a child, taking in the beauty of the sunrise, holding the hand of your spouse. It could be looking at a great work of art, listening to a favorite piece of music, taking in the majesty of a forest or the simple and fragile beauty of a flower. These things, and so many like them, are good, and they're beautiful. They are true blessings, and we ought to rejoice in them. These are the emotional joys that are meant to be received with gratitude and recognized as being signs pointing to the greater pursuit of true spiritual joy. Nevertheless, these are transitory and fleeting. They depend on external circumstances and provide only temporary pleasure and satisfaction. St. Thomas defines spiritual joy as a deeper, rational delight rooted in the possession of the highest good, which is God Himself. A joy, Thomas says, that calls us to rejoice in the Lord always. This is the joy that can never be taken from us, even in our darkest hour, because, in the words again of St. Thomas, this joy is born from the soul's communion with God. The joy Thomas speaks of is spiritual joy. It is perfect joy. It is lasting joy. And it is the reason why the church today and every day and every time and every circumstance raises her voice in praise, shout with joy to God all the earth, alleluia. Sing ye a psalm to his name, alleluia. Give glory to his praise, alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.